إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our sixth session, reading from Manhaj Yawmi li Talib al-Ilm, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge, by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And tonight, we're going to continue with the third area outlined by the author as part of one's daily routine in life. And before we look at the remaining advices that he gave under this area, we're going to go back and look at some of the issues that we talked about last week in the study guide number 5. Okay, so we're going to start with the first question, briefly discuss the third area that we started with last week, the third area outlined by the author, rahimahullah, as part of one's daily routine in life. The third area. What is this third area? That the Musa now. نعم عملك اليوم غير المفروضات. نعم. Somebody help us translation. يا إبراهيم. Your daily activities other than the things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. Other than the things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. What are the things, the other things that we should be doing? This is what the Shaykh is going to talk about in this particular area, the third area. At least in brief, he's going to identify some of the important things. So this was the third area. What was the first area, by the way? What was the first area? Naam, ya Salahuddin. Okay. Say it again.
Mention Allah.
Mention Allah. Yani, your manhaj with Allah. What is going to be your routine in terms of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis? What is going to be your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the second area?
Yeah. The
relationship with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third area we said that we started last week is your daily activities, your daily duties, other than that which Allah has made obligatory upon you. Question number 2, outline the 3 acts of worship mentioned in the first advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine outside of one's obligatory duties. Yani, in this third area, those things that you're going to be doing every day outside of the obligatory duties, the Shaykh mentioned 5 advices. What was the first advice that he mentioned? Or what was the 3 acts of worship? Yani, outline the 3 acts of worship mentioned in the first advice. What, number 1?
Zikrullah.
Naam. Somebody else. Number 2.
Supplicate to Allah.
Naam. And number 3? Hold it. Wait a minute. Anybody who didn't answer yet want to give an answer? Naam.
Ibrahim.
Qiyamul Layl. Qiyamul Layl. Was that in the first advice or in the second advice? He talked about it under the first advice, but actually came in the second advice, right? In the second advice he said, and pray whatever has been written for you in the last part of the night, and make the end of your yani prayer with witr. That was the second advice. But he talked about Qiyam al-Layl under the first advice. Now, under the first advice, that's what he talked about, Qiyam al-Layl. But in any case, in the first advice he mentioned, before Qiyam al-Layl, he mentioned Dhikrullah, and he mentioned Dua, supplicating to Allah. He mentioned what other thing? Naam?
Qira'ah.
Yani, he said what? اقرأ قول الله تعالى إن في خلق السماوات والأرض until the end of Surah Ali Imran, which include 10 ayat. Now, those are the 3 things that he mentioned specifically in terms of acts of worship in the first advice. Memorize the first advice of the author, rahimahullah. Yani question number three, under one's daily routine outside of the obligations. What was the full advice that the Shaykh gave as the first advice under one's daily routine? Yani related to non-obligatory duties. Naam.
Said, rahimahullah, إِذَا كُنْتَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَادْعُوا اللَّهَ بِمَا شِئْتْ فَإِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ في هذا الموت في هذا الموتن حري بالإجابة حري بالإجابة وقرأ قول الله تعالى إن في خلق السماوات والأرض حتى تختم سورة آل عمران وهي عشر آيات.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. Perfect. Okay, so the translation of this without looking at the book. Translation of this. Whatever we can remember from it, or if anybody can translate what he said. Yani, he said that the Shaykh rahimahullah, the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih rahimahullah, he said, إِذَا قُمْتَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Yani, if a person stands up, yani, during the night, yani, stands up for, yani, to get up, yani, awake from sleep during the night. Then he said, what? فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. Then, yani, engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, وَدُعُ اللَّهِ بِمَا شِتَّ. Meaning? Somebody else? نعم. يعني call upon Allah. Supplicate to Allah. Ask Allah with whatever. يعني supplicate to Allah. وَدُعُ اللَّهِ بِمَا شِتَّ. With whatever you desire, whatever you will, whatever you want to ask Allah for, supplicate to Allah with whatever يعني you are in need of. يعني because, huh? Without the Arabic, because? Because making dua at this time is worthy, is likely to be responded to. Hariyun bil ijaba. Naam. Zikrullah and dua. Because dua at this time is more likely to be responded to. And then he said, somebody remember what he said after that, the third one? He said, read, recite the saying of Allah the Most High. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, yani until you complete takhtim Surah Ali Imran, complete the recitation to the end of that surah, which includes 10 ayat. Okay. And we talked about this last week, so we're not going to stop on it, but except to say that this advice is worthy of being memorized, right? Because it's something that we should be doing. And if we wake up during the night, we should engage in the dhikr of Allah. We should supplicate to Allah, because it's the time when supplication is likely to be answered. And we should remind ourselves of the magnificence of Allah, the greatness of Allah, from those ayat, beginning with, indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the night and the day, are indeed signs for those who have understanding, for the people of understanding. This advice came to us, yani, the Shaykh gave this advice to us based on, yani, the practice of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question number four. Memorize a hadith concerning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of performing dhikr, istighfar, and dua upon awakening in the sleep. Anybody know this hadith? Even if you didn't memorize it, who knows this hadith? I'm going to try to get somebody else to help us. What's the hadith? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ta'arra," yani whoever woke up during the night. Then he should say these words, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Okay, one thing, one little small point there, that's correct. And he's to say these words, a phrase of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he said, Say, ask Allah's forgiveness. Say, oh Allah, forgive me. Or, supplicate to Allah, and yani, it will be responded to. And if a person performed wudu,
and prayed,
his prayer will be accepted. And again, we talked about this last week, so, yani, and it's just so important that we take advantage of this opportunity. This is indeed a tremendous favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he said if you get up in the night and you do these simple things, yani praising him, supplicating to him, asking for forgiveness, yani reciting the Quran, reflecting upon the greatness of Allah, making wudu, praying few rak'ah. This is the opportunity that, yani, if you supplicate to Allah, He will answer you. If you ask His forgiveness, He will forgive you. If you make salat, He will accept it from you. Discuss the reason why the Prophet ﷺ, question number 5, discuss the reason why the Prophet ﷺ disliked as-sahr, staying up after performing the Isha salat. Why did the Prophet dislike, yani, people staying up in the night after Isha? What was the reasoning for this? The Shaykh mentions it in the text of the book. Naam ya Abdullah. Because, yani, from the way that Allah, yani, created the creation, yani, night was made for rest, and the day was made for pursuing your livelihood. So this is one reason why, because it's against the natural order that Allah has set things in. It's against that. And also, He also said, yeah, because it will affect the person's, yani, normal, yani, worship, their fajr, and so on. And also because the person who stays up engaged in other activities, yani, then they're not going to use that special time in the night for what? Yani, for worship. Worship during the night. Not to mention the Fajr prayer. Yani, even the Fajr prayer is obligatory. But, yani, the night prayer is not obligatory, but nonetheless it is of the greatest importance. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ disliked people staying up in the night, unless, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, unless they stay up in the night engaged in worship. He disliked it because it will cause a person, yani, to harm their normal, yani, activities, duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the Fajr prayer. Question number 6, discuss what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, describes as as-sahr as-shara'i. As-sahr as-shara'i, yani, that which is the staying up in the night that's legislated in the Sharia. What does Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah say about this? Naam, Murshid.
The legislated reasons for staying up late at night include prayer, remembrance of
Allah. Staying up in the night for prayer, remembrance of Allah.
Recitation
of Quran.
Or writing knowledge and looking into
it. Writing down knowledge, naam.
Looking into it, studying it. Other than that, from a person actively practicing his religion. But he has to say toward the main prayer, which is the
Now, yani, he's mentioning some of the things that perhaps a person might be engaged in that is permissible if a person was up in the night making salat, making dhikr, making dua, reciting Quran, writing down knowledge, looking at it, examining it, reflecting upon it, studying like this, then this is permissible as long as, yani, that staying up in the night doesn't affect, yani, those things that are, yani, obligatory, like the being able to, yani, perform the Fajr prayer in its time. Memorize the hadith of Nuzul, the descending of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the last third of the night. Anybody memorize this hadith, even in English or in Arabic? Anybody memorize this hadith? 1, 2. Anybody else? The meaning of it in English? Tayyib, ya Mursha, we're going
to
start with you. Our Rabb descends to the lowest part of the heaven.
On the last third part of the night.
Saying? Somebody help him. Saying what? Saying? Who will supplicate to me so that I will answer him? Who will ask me for something so that I may give him? And who will make istighfar, seek forgiveness of me so that I may forgive him? Yeah, there's one point that we can add here, huh? Kulla layl, yani. Yani, you memorize the hadith?
Yanzilu Rabbuna tabaraka wa ta'ala
kulla laylatin
ila samai dunya hina yabqa thuluthu layli al-akhir yaqul may yad'uni fa astajibu la wa may yas'alni fa u'tiya wa may yastaghfirni faghfir lah.
Naam, ahsant. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, this is a very important hadith. It's a hadith yani that is its base, yani its foundation is upon aqeedah. Yani what we believe as Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heavens and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does descend every night to the sama'at dunya, the heaven that is above this world. And that He does this at what time? When the final third of the night remains, in the last third of the night. Saying, who will supplicate to me? Who will ask me for something? Who will seek forgiveness of me? Yani meaning that Allah is encouraging us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get up at this time in the night, letting us know that He is descending to the sama'at dunya, and He's coming close to this world. Yani the sama'at dunya, the lowest heaven that's close to the earth. He's coming, descending, in a way that's befitting of His majesty and His glory. How is that descending? Yani Allah only knows. But we know that He descends, that's a fact. In a way that is an agreement, that is in accordance, that is befitting of His majesty and His greatness and His glory. This is a matter of aqeedah. But in addition to that, not only is it a matter of aqeedah, but it's also a matter of practical, yani our practical, yani application of Islam. That if we know this and we believe that, then how do we not act upon it? And how can we just sleep through the whole night, all the time, every night, and we don't get up, we don't try, we don't yani try to take advantage of this tremendous opportunity? So it is a matter of aqeedah, and it's also a matter of the practical application of Islam. Yani some of us are theorists. Yani we just yani live on theory. May Allah save us from that. Question number 8, discuss the tremendous encouragements mentioned in this hadith for getting up in the last third of the night. What are those encouragements? Yani, one, what would encourage us to get up in the last third of the night in this hadith? Naam.
The student of knowledge should take something from being utilized.
Okay, a student of knowledge should take advantage of this, should utilize this, yeah. But I'm saying, what is it in the hadith itself that would encourage a person who is tired and wants to just sleep through the night? What in this hadith would encourage and help a person, would motivate a person to actually get up in the night, even though they're tired and they would rather be sleeping? Now,
the promise of the Prophet, Allah Sallam, that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He will answer whoever calls on Him.
That Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will answer whoever calls on Him. If you call upon Allah, He will answer you. Not like your boss or your somebody or whoever you're in need of. If you call them, they might not answer the phone. I was sitting with some brothers in the masjid, and a brother was making a phone call, and the other brother said, "He's not going to answer." He's not going to answer. The person you call, he's not going to answer. I mean, that could go either way, however you want to understand it. The point is that Allah says He will answer. Get up in the last third of the night, He says He will answer you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, if that's not an encouragement, I don't know what is. What other encouragement is there? Huh? I heard somebody saying something. Abdul Qawi. MashaAllah, I got it.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Which one of us is not in need of forgiveness? Yani you want Allah to forgive your sins. The human being is committing sins by day and by night. And there's no one who forgives sins except Allah. And Allah says, if you get up in this time, ask for forgiveness, I will forgive you. That is an encouragement to get up in the night. If in the course of the day you have committed, how many sins? We don't want to put any number on it, right? Because unlimited, by day and by night. Don't you want to have those sins forgiven? Then this is the time when Allah promised, if you get up and ask for forgiveness, I will forgive you. That's an encouragement. And also, the encouragement of... whoever asks for something, then Allah said He will give it to you. And are we not in need of a lot of things? And you might need a car, you might need a spouse, you might need a job, whatever it is that you need. You might need a cure to some sickness, whatever it is you want to ask for. Get up in the night and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever problem you have that you want somebody to help you with, forget about that. I'm not saying don't ask for help from the people. Nah, you can ask for help from the people, but first and foremost, ask for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, ask me, I will give it to you. That's an encouragement. Yani, these are encouragements for us. Yani, when we are very, very tired, yani, before going to sleep, just make wudu and make intention to get up in the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will awaken you. Last question. Mention the two stories of men who spent the night at the home of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah and the unused water. The story? I didn't mention that last week, right? No problem. Did anybody take the time to read the book? It's in the book. I didn't mention it last week, but it's in the book though.
It's in the book, in the pages that we read last week. Now, Ya Ibrahim, help us.
Now,
there was a student of knowledge who spent the night in the house of Imam Ahmed, and Imam Ahmed put out some water for him. Now,
And when Imam Ahmed, when he came to wake up for Salat al-Fajr, the water was undisturbed.
When Imam Ahmed came to him in the morning, he saw the water was undisturbed. It was still there. And
he's never seen like a student of knowledge talk hadith. So
first he asked him, why didn't you use the water?
And the man said,
I was shy, so I didn't answer. Sakattu, I just remained silent. And then Imam Ahmed said,
I haven't met a sahih hadith like a student of knowledge who didn't make them of that.
He said, I didn't know that there's sahib al-hadith, the people of hadith, the people of sunnah, that does not get up in the night and pray Qiyamul Layl. And maybe today we can say we didn't know one who gets up in the night and prays. That's not true. No, they do get up and pray, mashallah. The people of sunnah do get up in the night and pray. And we are the people of sunnah, so then we have to examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. There's no doubt that يعني بحسن الظن يعني حسن الظن بكم. I have no doubt that we are getting up in the night, at least sometimes, if not all the time. But Imam Ahmed, he couldn't believe that there is sahib al-hadith, a person who actually cares about the sunnah, and he doesn't get up in the night and pray. Which means then, that this prayer is so important that, yani it's automatic that you do this. You do get up in the night and pray. And the same incident took place with another man, and that man said to Imam Ahmed, what? Why I didn't get up and pray? He said, I'm traveling, I'm a traveler. Yani, that's why I didn't get up and pray, I'm a traveler. Imam Ahmed said, what?
He said, this should be a fact even when you're traveling.
Even if you're traveling, no excuse. So what about we're not traveling? We're not even traveling. What is our excuse? At least that man here has some kind of excuse. Wasn't valid. Imam Ahmed didn't accept it. But at least he said, I was traveling, I'm tired from the journey. What about us? What's our excuse? Anyway, those two stories were mentioned in the Arabic book on page 42 and footnote 19. In footnote 19 at the end of what we were reading, yani from the first advice last week. So in any case, those two stories are interesting, I thought quite interesting, and perhaps yani there's something for us to think about and reflect upon. I'm trying to look at the time. Where's my watch? Okay. Tonight, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we're going to go on to the remaining points. Hopefully, we'll complete the remaining points for the third area of a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge. The third area, we said, as we mentioned tonight, as we were reviewing the points from last week, we said the third area is what? عَمَلُكَ الْيَوْمِ غَيْرُ الْمَفْرُوضَاتِ يعني, our daily activities, deeds, acts of worship, other than the obligatory duties, other than the things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. Let me just go back a little bit. Yeah, I need to go back just a little bit to last week's reading, what we were reading last week. The last thing that we read last week was the actual second point. Naam. It was the second point of advice under this area where the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says, ثانياً يقول رحمه الله صلي ما قتب لك في آخر الليل واختم صلاتك بالوتر. The Shaykh Abdul Razak commented on this second point under the first point. And then after he made his comments about Qiyam al-Layl, then he mentioned the second advice, yani pray whatever has been written for you in the end, the last part of the night, and close or seal your salat with witr. We read that last week. It was at the end of the class, and the Shaykh, he mentions in his commentary, it is as the Prophet
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اجعلوا آخر صلاتكم وترا. Make the last of your prayer, the end of your prayer, witr. Yani, the night prayer. Make the last thing that you perform in the night, the salatul witr. I just want to say quickly, yani, concerning salatul witr, even though like last week we didn't any talk about it, but I want to mention quickly here from what Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentioned in another book, that is Fiqh al-Ibadat. In Fiqh al-Ibadat, he mentions in brief this topic of the witr prayer. And he mentioned it in detail in Jami' al-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah. Yani, in Jami' al-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions this topic in detail. But for the sake of time, I'm going to read the summary of what he wrote in Fiqh al-Ibadat. Min al-Nawafil fi salawat. From those voluntary prayers is the witr. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَكِدْ النَّوَاكِلْ. And it is from the most confirmed, important of the voluntary prayers. حَتَّى قَالَ بَعْدُ الْعُلَمَاءِ بِوُجُوبِهِ. To the extent that some scholars said the witr prayer is obligatory, it's wajib. Some scholars said that it's wajib. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said concerning the witr prayer, مَنْ تَرَكَ الْوِتْرِ فَهُوَ رَجُلٌ سُوءٌ. Whoever abandoned the witr, he is an evil person. لا ينبغي أن تقبل له شهادة. And it's not proper, not befitting that we accept his testimony. If he testifies to something, we shouldn't accept it from him. The person who what? Doesn't pray the witr. And then the Shaykh goes on to, and he mentioned, I'm not going to read it because, I mean, I'll just kind of summarize as much as possible what he said concerning the witr prayer. And what I read here is to show the importance of the witr prayer. And Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen said, the night prayer should be closed with witr. Finish it with witr. And here he says, and he finished the night prayer with witr. Whoever fears that he will not get up in the last part of the night, he should pray the witr before going to sleep. As the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Huraira and other of the companions. And whoever has hope that he's going to wake up in the end of the night, then he should make the witr prayer in the end of the night after he finishes from his voluntary prayers, yani the qiyam. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اجعلوا آخر صلاتكم بالليل وطرا. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, make the last of your prayers during the night witr, yani odd number. The least of it, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, is one rakah. And the most of it, witr prayer, is 11 rakah. Yani witr can be prayed as one rakah, can be prayed as 11 rakah. Yani Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, أقله ركعة واحدة. The least of it is one rakah. وأكثره إحدى عشرة ركعة. And the most of the witr prayer can be is 11 rakah. وَأَدْنَى الْكَمَالِ. And the least of that which is considered to be complete and perfect is ثَلَاثَ rakaat. ثَلَاثَ rakaat. Witr can be prayed as 3 rakah. If a person prays it as 3 rakah, they have a choice. If they will, they can make them 3 straight with 1 tashahud only in the last rakah. And if they will, they can pray it as 2 rakah, yani make taslim, and then make 1 rakah, yani after those 2 rakah to make 3, if they're praying as 3. He said, if the person is praying the witr prayers 5 rakah, you can make them straight through with 1 tashahud and 1 taslim. 5 rakah straight through. In Jami' al-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah, Shaykh Uthaymeen says, or if a person wants to, they can make tashahud, he's talking about in the 7 rakah, I'm sorry, I'm ahead of myself. 5 rakah, he said, make it straight through with 1 tashahud and 1 taslim. If he makes it as 7 rakah, then do the same thing. Make it straight through, 7 rakah straight, all together with 1 tashahud and 1 taslim. Or, he said in the other place, or he can sit in the 6 rakah. Yani 6 rakah straight, and then in the 6 rakah, recite the tashahud, and then get up and pray the 7th rakah and tashahud again. In which case, he said, then that means that the person will make the tashahud twice in those 7 rakah with 1 taslim. And if the person prays it as 9 rakah, he said they should sit in the 8th rakah for tashahud and then get up without taslim and perform the 9th rakah and make taslim. And if they prayed yani with 2 tashahud, yani in the 7 rakah or in the 9 rakah and 1 taslim, and if they prayed as 11 rakah, then it can only be done in one way, that is pray them as pairs of 2 rakah, and then the 11th rakah be performed one by itself.
Yani this is how the Shaykh summarized it. And obviously there are some other variations that are possible. The important thing is here, he's saying the witr prayer can be one rak'ah, it can be three rak'ah, performed in one of those two ways, but only with one tashahud. Unless you perform two and one, five rak'ah, seven rak'ah, nine rak'ah, 11 rak'ah. This is how the Shaykh explained it. He said if a person forgot, or if they slept past the witr prayer, they should make it up in the daytime. يَقْضِهِ مِنَ النَّهَارِ وَلَكِنْ But make it as an even rak'ah, not as witr. That is, if a person's habit is to pray three rak'ah witr, then if they missed it and they make it up in the daytime, they should pray it as four rak'ah. And if their habit was to pray five rak'ah witr, and if they missed it, in the daytime they make it up, they should pray it as six rak'ah and so on. Meaning if they missed the witr prayer, they should make it up in the daytime. If you slept past it, or you forgot, or whatever, you should make it up in the daytime, but not as an odd rak'ah, but as an even number of rak'ah. And because this has been confirmed in the Sahih Hadith, yani that the Prophet ﷺ, if he was overcome by sleep or pain from performing Qiyamul Layl, then he would do it in the daytime as 12 rak'ah, reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Okay, I just wanted to mention that concerning the witr prayer, because of the importance of the witr prayer, and the need for it, and the Shaykh, rahimahullah, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, only mentioned of the non-obligatory duties every day, he only mentioned two prayers. The night prayer, and closing it with witr, and the duha prayer, which we're going to talk about, yani what comes. So these are prayers that are very important. They're not the only prayers, they're also sunnah prayers before and after the obligatory prayers, and there are other prayers, yani two, that we've talked about previously on other occasions. But these are the most important of them. The night prayer, being ending with witr. If a person missed the witr prayer, they should pray it in the daytime as an even number. And the salatul duha. This is what we, that was the last thing that we read last week. Yani, pray whatever Allah has written for you in the end of the night, and close it with the performance of witr. Yani, whatever Allah has written for you, meaning whatever Allah decreed for you. Whether it's a few rak'ah or more rak'ah. Whatever Allah has decreed, but pray something. Point number three, yani the third advice that the Shaykh mentions under your non-obligatory daily activities. Hafiz ala ma tayassara laka min adhkar as-sabah. Hafiz, protect, preserve, guard, observe, fulfill, yani whatever is easy for you to do of the adhkar as-sabah, the morning words of remembrance. Whatever is easy. Here the Shaykh is advising us what? That there are many adhkar sabah, but do whatever is easy for you, what you have the ability to do. Meaning, there's no excuse for a person not to, yani, perform the adhkar sabah. There's no excuse. Do whatever is easy for you, do something. If you just do one of them, do something. Do two, do three. In Husn al-Muslim, this small book of supplications that's very widespread, famous in Arabic and in other languages, there's mentioned there 23 different dhikr from adhkar sabah. And Masa, 23, I think. That's how I remember the count. Maybe a person is not going to do all 23. It's possible to do all 23 in the time you pray Fajr until sunrise. It's possible to do all of them. But if a person didn't do 23, and they only did 3, okay. ما تيسر لك من أذكار الصباح. Don't leave it off. أذكار الصباح, أذكار المساء. I remember one of the sheikhs, we used to travel together all the time, every day we spent together. And I noticed that he never... Yani when it came time for adhkar al-sabah, adhkar al-masa, especially a masa after asr, yani whatever was happening, he disengaged himself from the people. And I realized the importance of adhkar al-sabah al-masa. Never abandon this. You don't know how important it is unless you yani examine the issue carefully. The Shaykh is mentioning this because this is from the most important. There are all kinds of adhkar that a person does in a day. In all different occasions, when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you leave your house, when you go in the bathroom, when you get dressed, get undressed, when you eat, all kinds of adhkar in the day and in the night, after the obligatory prayers and so on. But he mentioned this because of its great importance from the adhkar. Now, the adhkar al-masa after asr.
Now, I thought it was after
asr. No, after asr. So the Shaykh, he says here, I'll talk about it, inshallah. حافظوا على ما تيسر لك من أذكار الصباح قل مئة مرة لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير Yani say 100 times, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and He has no partners. And to Him belongs the kingdom, the sovereignty, and to Him belongs all praise. And He has power over everything. And He has the power to do whatever He wills to do. He has power over everything. The Shaykh mentions here one of the dhikr of Adhkar al-Sabah. Saying, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamd, huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. 100 times. How long will it take you to say this 100 times? About? 7 minutes? MashaAllah. Anybody else? Huh? 12, 15, 20, whatever. Even if it took 7 minutes or 20 minutes. The point is, it's not something, it's not going to take you all day to do it. Although the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says it 100 times in a day. The scholars said, they placed it in the morning adhkar, because it's better that you hasten to do good deeds, right? Even though if you said it in the course of a day, there's a tremendous benefit and reward from saying, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, 100 times. If you said it in the morning, that's better. But if you said it throughout the day, that is, yani, you're still entitled to the reward. As it's mentioned here in the footnote, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من قال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد هو على كل شيء قدير في يوم 100 times. Whoever said this in the course of a day 100 times, even if you didn't complete it in the morning after Fajr, finish it in the course of the day. Whoever did so, said this 100 times, even if it's in the course of the whole day, كانت له عدل عشر رقاب, then he will have the reward equal to the reward of freeing 10 slaves. He will have a reward that's equal to the reward of freeing 10 slaves. I don't know if anybody knows what it's like to free a slave, but I'm sure it will cost a lot of money. So a person will get the reward as though they have freed 10 slaves. في سبيل الله, if they, every day in the course of the day, preferably in the morning, in the Adhkar al-Sabah, said 100 times this dhikr. Not only that, قُتِبَتْ لَهُ 100 hasanatin, and they will be written or recorded from 100 hasanat, good deeds. وَمُحِيَتْ عَنْهُ 100 sayyi'ah, and they will be erased from him 100 sins, evil deeds. وَكَانَتْ لَهُ حِرْزًا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ يَوْمَهُ ذَلِكَ حَتَّى يُمْسِيَ. And also, he will have a protection from shaitan in that day of his that he did this in. He will have a protection from shaitan until he reached the evening. Or until she reached the evening. Yani, they will get the reward of freeing 10 slaves. 100 good deeds will be written for them. 100 sins will be erased from them. And they will have protection from shaitan for that day until they reach evening. وَلَمْ يَأْتِ أَحَدٌ بِأَفْضَلَ مِنْ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ إِلَّا أَحَدٌ عَمِلَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And nobody will come with anything better than what this person has done unless that person does more than them. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh, he says, yani Shaykh Abdul Razak says, that Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Faymin rahimahullah says, نَصَّ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْمِيَةِ مَا عَنَّ الْأَذْكَارُ الْوَارِدَةِ كَثِيرٌ لِعِظَمْ شَأْنِ تَهْلِيلُ فِي يَوْمْ 100 times, وَعِظَمْ مَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنْ آثَارَ عَظِيمَةِ مُبَارَكَ فِي حَيَاةِ الْمُسْلِمِ وَفِي أُخْرَاهُ. That the Imam has specifically mentioned this 100, yani saying this 100 times, even though the Adhkar al-Sabah that have been reported to us are many, many, many. Why did he mention this one specifically when he said, yani to guard the Adhkar al-Sabah, and he only mentioned one from amongst the many? Due to the greatness of the affair of At-Tahleel, saying La ilaha illallah in the course of a day 100 times, and the greatness of the effect, the great effect and the blessing, yani effect, that it will have upon the life of the Muslim who says this, yani in this world and in the next life. The great effect that it will have upon them and the great, yani blessings that they will enjoy from saying this. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I just want to mention quickly, it also came in the Sahih of Muslim, Sahih al-Bukhari, and this particular hadith came in Sahih Muslim with this almost the same wording, except at the end of it in Sahih Muslim, the same hadith of Abu Huraira, he says, that no one will bring anything better than what this person has come with, except the person who does more than that. وَمَنْ قَالَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ فِي يَوْمٍ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ حُطَّتْ خَطَايَاهُ وَلَوْ كَانَتْ مِثْلَ زَبَدْ الْبَحْرِ. And in the narration of this hadith in Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim rahimahullah mentions, وَمَنْ قَالَ, yani that the Prophet ﷺ said, and whoever says that 100 times, and whoever says, سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ 100 times. فِي يَوْمٍ, in the course of a day, a whole day, مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ, then his sins will be removed from him, even if they were equal to the foam of the sea. And if a person says, سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ 100 times in the course of a day, whether they said it in the morning or throughout the day, their sins will be removed, even if their sins were equal to the foam of the sea. So if la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, to the end of it is too long, say subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Meaning what? That I declare Allah to be free from imperfections and to be worthy of all praise. That's the meaning, yani summary of the meaning of subhanallah wa bihamdihi. The declaration that Allah is free from any imperfection, shortcoming, weakness, whatever has been falsely ascribed to Him, and He is the one that's worthy of all praise. Whoever says this, their sins will be removed, even if they were equal to the foam of the sea. I just want to caution us, yani in other narrations of hadith related to the saying of La ilaha illallah, the Prophet ﷺ, for example, mentioned concerning one of the companions, the people said, where's this man? Some of them said, he is a munafiq, he doesn't love Allah and His Messenger. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't say that. أَلَا تَرَاهُ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Don't you see that this man has said La ilaha illallah? But look what the Prophet said. يُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. Not just the saying, words, but intending by it, seeking the face of Allah. Okay? He said, don't say that. Don't you see this man has said, La ilaha illallah? يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. He said it from his heart, desiring the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So saying these words are important, but we must know their meaning and we must be believing them. It must be coming from the heart before it reaches the tongue. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed Allah has prohibited the fire for the one who said La ilaha illallah, desiring by that the face of Allah. Hadith in Bukhari. Another hadith in Bukhari, yani Abu Huraira asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will be the most blessed, yani as'ad, most fortunate of the people to earn your shafa'i, your intercession, yawm al-qiyamah? The Prophet said, I didn't think that anyone, O Abu Huraira, except you would be the one who asked me that question. I didn't think anybody else is going to be the first one to ask me that question except you, Ya Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Look at this man, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Prophet said, I didn't think anybody would ask me this question before you. You will be the first one to ask this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أسعد الناس بشفاعة يوم القيامة من قال لا إله إلا الله. The most fortunate, blessed, successful people of paradise who will achieve my shafa'a, my intercession, yawm al-qiyamah, will be the one who said La ilaha illallah. But the Prophet went on to say what? Khalisan min qibli nafsihi. But the person who said it sincerely from inside himself, yani from his heart. So the saying of this word is very important, but saying it, believing in it, saying it sincerely from the heart. And one other hadith in Sahih Muslim, yani the Prophet said, من قال لا إله إلا الله وكفر بما يعبد من دون الله حرم ماله ودمه وحسابه على الله. Whoever said La ilaha illallah and disbelieved, rejected whatever is worshipped besides Allah. And he's saying La ilaha illallah requires action. It has to be sincere from the heart, and then we have to act upon it. Yani whoever said La ilaha illallah and disbelieved and rejected whatever is worshipped besides Allah, then his wealth and his blood will be protected, will be sacred, and his account will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows the importance of La ilaha illallah, and it is one from amongst many of the adhkar al-sabah and adhkar al-masa. Point number four, fourth advice. Salli raka'atay al-duha, raka'atay al-duha. Perform the two raka'ah of Salatul Duha. هذه وصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. قال أوصاني خليلي بثلاث وذكر منها ركعتي الدحى. يعني this is
Yani the Shaykh Abdul Razak is saying this is the wasiyah. Yani that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is telling us pray 2 rak'ah of duha. He said this is the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when Abu Hurairah said, Awsani Khalili, my dear friend, beloved, yani closest friend, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised me with 3 things, and he mentioned from amongst them rak'atay ad-duha, ad-duha. Naam. In one of the narrations of this hadith, as it's reported in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, أوصاني خليلي بثلاثٍ لا أضعهن حتى أموت. My close friend, beloved friend, the Prophet advised me 3 things, that I would never leave until I die. I would never abandon it until I die. Yani these are things that we have to do all of our life. He said he advised me 3 things I will never abandon until I die. Sawmi thalathati ayyamin min kulli shahr. Fasting 3 days from every month. Wa salati duha, and the prayer of duha. Wa nawmi ala witrin, and to sleep, yani having performed the witr. Yani perform witr before sleeping. Yani in the case of the person who is afraid that they might not wake up during the night, then make it before you sleep, so that you don't lose out on the performance of the witr prayer. It has also been narrated from Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu, another companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Awsani Habibi. Yani that, and this is reported in the Sunnah of Nasa'i in his Sahih, he said, Awsani Habibi, my beloved has advised me sallallahu alaihi wasallam with 3 things. La adawhunna insha'Allah ta'ala abadan. 3 things that I, insha'Allah, will never abandon. He advised me with what? Salatul Duha. والوتر قبل النوم, and to perform the witr prayer before sleeping, yani for the person who doesn't think they're going to wake up in the night, and siyam thalathati ayyam min kulli shahr, yani the same advice that he gave to Abu Hurairah, he gave to Abu Dhar radiallahu anhuma. This shows us the importance of salatu ad-duha, salatu duha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to advise his companions with it. As far as Salatul Duha, there's a lot to be said about, and we don't have time to mention it. But the main thing I want to say, the Prophet ﷺ advised it. And he also said it as a form of sadaqah. Yani when he said that saying, La ilaha illallah is sadaqah, Allahu Akbar is sadaqah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. All of these are sadaqah. And yani other things are sadaqah, he said, but whoever performs 2 rak'ah, yani in the Duha time, this will suffice for the sadaqah that is upon the human being every day. Yani from all of those things, just praying 2 rak'ah duha. What is the time of duha? Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said the time of salatul duha is after salatul fajr, yani after the sun has risen a little bit above the horizon until just before the sun reaches the zenith. Yani he said 12 minutes after the sun, yani rise above the horizon, 12 minutes after that, he said to be safe 15 minutes and about 10 minutes before noon time, before the sun is directly overhead. This is the time of Salatul Duha. Yani from Salat, from sunrise, a little bit after sunrise, until just before Salatul Dhuhr. What is the best time to perform it? Yani for the sake of time, it's mentioned in some of the hadith that the Duha, the best time to perform it, is in the time when the young camels get up from the ground because of the severity of the heat. Shaykh al-Faymin said this is like maybe 1 or 2 hours before noon time. And this is the best time to do it. If a person sat in the masjid, remembering Allah after praying Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah, then it's best for them to perform the Salatul Duha after the sun has risen. If they sat in the masjid, remembering Allah due to the hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prayed the Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah, and then sat remembering Allah until sunrise, and then prayed 2 rak'ah, and in some narrations said 4 rak'ah, they will have the reward of Hajj and Umrah. Tamatan, tamatan, tamatan. Naam.
How do you understand 2 rak'ah after sitting down after
the witr? Naam. It's permissible to pray 2 rak'ah after witr. The scholars say about this that the witr should be the last prayer of the night. However, this is a recommendation. It's not yani sinful to pray after it. And the Prophet ﷺ used to pray 2 rak'ah after the witr prayer sitting. So it's permissible to do it. Yani the recommendation is to make witr your last prayer of the night, but if a person prayed after, it's permissible. How many rak'ah is Salatul Duha? There are narrations of authentic hadith that he prayed 2 rak'ah. Hani, when the conquest of Mecca, she said he prayed 12 rak'ah.
Other narration said 2 rak'ah. Aisha said he prayed 4 rak'ah and sometimes more or less. So a person may pray Salatul Duha as 2 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah or 6 rak'ah or even 8 rak'ah in that time between the sunrise and yani noontime. And there are other narrations that we don't have time to mention now. We just want to mention something about Salatul Duha. And we see its great importance. And from amongst the things that show its importance is, like I said, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prayed the Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah and then sat remembering Allah until the sun rises and prays 2 rak'ah, they will get the reward of Hajj and Umrah, tamat. Naam. Okay, after this, Salatul Duha, the fifth point. Fifth point, the Shaykh says, حافظوا على أذكار المساء ما تيسر لك منها. حافظوا على أذكار المساء. Yani here the Shaykh is now what? Joining to what he mentioned earlier, advice number 3, أذكار الصباح. He's saying also guard, protect, preserve the أذكار المساء. ما تيسر لك منها, yani whatever is easy for you from that. Whatever you can do from that, then do the best that you can from the Adhkar al-Masa as well. And the Adhkar al-Masa, similar to Adhkar al-Sabah, they are also very many. I'm looking for one hadith here. Naam. In reference to the question of Murshid. The hadith is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud. Shaykh al-Albani said the hadith is Hasan from Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا أن عقد ما قوم يذكرون الله تعالى من صلاة الغداة حتى تطلع الشمس أحب إلي من أن أعتق 4 من ولد إسماعيل. Yani, definitely, that I sit with people remembering Allah, not in congregational dhikr, but the people are sitting in the masjid remembering Allah. How do we know that? Because that's how the Prophet ﷺ did it. There's no record of the Prophet ﷺ joining people in a congregational dhikr. And even some scholars said in Hajj, it may be permissible for the people to say the talbiyah in group, yani, in order to teach them how to say it. But after that, it shouldn't be done. يعني لأن أقعد مع قوم, that I sit with people يذكرون الله تعالى, remembering Allah, making ذكر من صلاة الغداة, يعني صلاة الفجر, from the time of performing صلاة الفجر حتى تطلع الشمس, until the sun rises, أحب إلي, is more beloved to me than freeing 4 slaves from the children of Ismail. Not just slaves in general, 4 slaves from the children of Ismail. ولأن أقعد مع قوم يذكرون الله من صلاة العصر إلى أن تغرب الشمس أحب إلي من أن أعتق 4. And that I sit, يعني with the people, remembering Allah from صلاة العصر until the sun sets, from صلاة العصر until the sun sets, is more beloved to me than freeing 4 slaves from the children of Ismail عليه السلام. The Prophet ﷺ here is telling us the importance of these adhkar that the Shaykh is recommending to us, adhkar al-sabah and adhkar al-masa. They are so important. He's saying, it would be more beloved to me that I sit in the masjid after praying fajr with the people remembering Allah until sunrise. It would be more beloved to me. That would be more beloved to me than 3 and 4 slaves from the children of Ismail ﷺ. Sitting there remembering Allah. Sitting there remembering Allah with the people after the asr prayer until the sun sets would be more beloved to me than freeing 4 slaves from the children of Ismail alayhi salam. And also in this hadith, he's not only showing the importance of the adhkar al-sabah al-masa, but he's also telling us the time of salat of adhkar al-sabah al-masa, that the adhkar al-sabah is in the morning from fajr until sunrise. And the adhkar al-masa is from the asr prayer until sunset. And Shaykh Abdul Razak, he said in his book Adhkar wa Ad'iyah, he said that even if a person missed that time in the morning after Fajr or in the evening after Asr, then they can still perform the Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa in whatever time they remembered it or were able to do it. And they shouldn't abandon it just because they missed the time. Maybe a person was occupied after Asr and they had to run and do some emergency work and they couldn't sit and remember Allah. Then even if it's after Maghrib, even if it's after Isha, still do it anyway. still do it anyway, even though the best time for it is the time that's mentioned here by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sheikh Abdul Razak says, فَتَبْدَعُ صَبَاحُكَ بِالذِّكْرَ وَأَيْدًا مَسَاءُكَ تَخْتِمُهُ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَتَكُونُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الذِّكْرَ فِي الْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ. Yani begin your morning with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also your evening, end it with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani meaning, begin your morning after the Fajr prayer with dhikr Allah until sunrise. And then pray Salatul Duha. If you're sitting in the masjid, remembering Allah until sunrise. And end your day with the dhikr of Allah. Yani after Asr, remembering Allah up until Maghrib. That's the end of the day. Yani begin your day with the remembrance of Allah and end your day with the remembrance of Allah, so that you will then become from the Ahlul Dhikr, those who remember Allah morning and evening. وَهَذِهِ الْأَذْكَارِ أَذْكَارُ الصَّبَاحِ وَالْمَسَاءِ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْأَذْكَارِ الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعَنِيَ بِهَا الْمُسْلِمُ وَأَنْ يُوَاظِبَ عَلَيْهَا مُوَاظَبَةً يَوْمِيَّةً مُسْتَمِرَّةً لِأَنَّهَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهَا آثَارًا مُبَارَكًا فِي يَوْمِ الْمَرْءِ وَفِي لَيْلَتِهِ كَمَا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَحْرُسَ عَلَى تَعَلُّمِ الْفَوَائِدِ الْمُتَرَتِّبَةِ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأَذْكَارِ بما يعني مما ذكره النبي صلوات الله وسلامه وبركاته عليه. يعني the Shaykh is saying here, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته, that these adhkar, يعني there are many adhkar, right? There are many adhkar, and we need to know them and we need to practice them. We need to be engaged in remembrance of Allah day and night. Day and night. Before the prayers, during the prayers, after the prayers, يعني in the morning and the evening, at all times. Before going to sleep, first thing waking up in the morning. But these adhkar, the adhkar al-sabah al-masa', meaning the adhkar that takes place after the performance of the Fajr prayer until sunrise, and after the performance of the Asr prayer until sunset, the Shaykh said these adhkar are from the greatest adhkar, from the most important of adhkar, which it is incumbent, it is befitting of the Muslim to give attention to them, and to be engaged regularly, consistently, daily, ongoing in these adhkar. Meaning that we should be doing them every day. The same way. In the same way that the people of Sunnah, the people who practice in Islam, the same way that there's no doubt in our mind that performing the five prayers a day is incumbent. There's no escape from it. And it's not like some people, they pray sometimes and they don't pray sometimes. As for us, naam, that's impossible. That you don't pray the five prayers every day. Five obligatory prayers. That's impossible. Unless the person is unconscious or lost their mind or something. In the same way, these voluntary adhkar, sabah al-masa, we should look at it in the same way. I can't go today without this. How can I start my day without this? How can I end my day without this? That's how we have to look at it. It's that important. The Prophet ﷺ said what? Yani that doing this adhkar, sabah al-masa, it was more beloved to me than freeing four slaves from the children of Ismail, alayhi salam. That's how important it is. Is it more beloved to us? Well, the test is whether or not we do it or not, right? It's easy to say it, but if we don't do it, and I always say, yani since we claim this tremendous title that we're the Ahl Sunnah, then we have to live up to it. We can't just say on the tongue that we are Muslims, mashallah, we are Ahlul Sunnah, mashallah, we are Salafi, mashallah. We have all these wonderful titles, but do we live up to them? It's like a person saying he's a Muslim, and he's on the corner drinking wine. He's every day at the liquor store like he had a job. First thing in the morning to the last thing at night, he's there on the corner. Salaam alaikum, akhi. And the lady, she says, Salaam alaikum, akhi. And every day, going to the masjid and coming back, they're sitting on the corner outside the liquor store drinking wine. So saying that you're a Muslim is not enough, but proving it, acting upon it is what is required. The people of Sunnah must practice the Sunnah. The Shaykh, he says, these are from the greatest adhkar that a person should give care to, that a Muslim should give care to, and they should be consistent in them, daily, continuously, he said. مُوَاذِبَ يَوْمِيَ مُسْتَمِرَّ. Not sometimes, some days, most of the time, all the time, every day. And that is because the athar, Mubarakah, the yani blessed effects that is dependent upon the person reciting these adhkar with consciousness of their meaning, understanding what they mean and knowing their significance and believing in your heart that this is, yani, it's going to have some benefit, some kind of effect for you. Believing that. The person who does so, then it's going to definitely have a blessed effect upon their day and upon their night, the Shaykh said. And then he said, secondly, كَمَا عَلَيْهِ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَحْرُسَ عَلَى تَعَلَّمْ الْفَوَائِلِ الْمُتَرَتِّبَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأَذْكَارِ. So it is also incumbent upon us to be diligent and eager in learning the benefits that are coming as a result of these adhkar bima dhakarahu an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based upon what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, based upon what he has told us about the benefits and the rewards and the protections and all that we get from these adhkar. Okay, a few minutes remaining. I just want to mention to you a couple of adhkar other than yani what the Shaykh mentioned, because there are many, right? We said there are many from amongst them. From amongst the most important adhkar of Sabah al-Masa is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Yani, in the name of Allah, the one whose name, nothing is harmed on the earth or in the heavens. Yani, nothing can harm you from the earth or from the heavens. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And he is the one who is all-hearing and all-knowing. Bismillah, in the name of Allah. الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّ مَا أَسْمِهِ. Yani, the one who, nothing will harm you in the heavens and the earth if you are mentioning his name. It's reported in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and others, from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no servant of Allah who says every day in the morning and the evening this dhikr, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i was sami'ul 'alim. Repeating this three times. There is no servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who says this in the morning and the evening, repeating it three times, except that nothing will harm him. Naam. This is the wording from Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Albani said, and Sahih al-Jami, that is Sahih. This supplication is mentioned in Fortress of the Muslim, number 86. And its explanation by Shaykh Abdul Razak is mentioned in this book here, Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa, the explanation of the supplication. Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, said concerning this hadith, this is an authentic report and truthful statement, whose proof we came to know by both dalil and by way of tajriba. We knew it from the evidence from the hadith and by practicing it. Since I first heard this hadith, Imam al-Qurtubi said, I acted upon it and nothing harmed me until one day I did not recite it. Until one day I did not recite it. As a result, I was stung by a scorpion during the night in Medina. When I thought over it, I realized I had forgotten to seek refuge in Allah with these words. It's also mentioned in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi that Aban ibn Uthman, the son of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the narrator of the hadith from his father Uthman, that he, Aban, was afflicted with a semi-paralysis which affects one side of the body. Hence a man from amongst the people stared at him, yani at his paralysis, when he heard him reciting this hadith. So Aban said to him, مَالَ بِكَ, yani what's with you? Why are you looking at me like this? He said, indeed, the hadith is true, just as I narrated it to you. However, I failed to recite it that day, and in this way Allah caused what He decreed for me to occur. Yani that he was afflicted on the day that he forgot to recite it. From amongst the important adhkar, Sabah al-Masa, or specifically from Masa, this one, yani seeking refuge in the perfect words of Allah, is reported in Sahih of Imam Muslim, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, I came across a scorpion which stung me last night. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if only you had said, at the approach of evening, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. If only you had said at the approach of evening, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah from the evil, yani, that comes from that which Allah has created. If you had said that, the scorpion would not have harmed you. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. The scorpion would not have harmed you. And another supplication from Adhkar Sabah al-Masa, one of the great supplications, yani, it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said,
Whoever recites this supplication during the day that I'm going to mention to you, having certainty of its truthfulness, and believing that it's true, and then dies in that day before he reaches the evening, will be of the people of paradise. Whoever recites these words in the course of the day, having certainty of its truthfulness, believing in it, that is the fact, is true, and if they die in that day, they will be one of the people of paradise. And whoever recites it in the evening, during the night, with certainty of his truthfulness, and then dies before he reaches the morning, will be of the people of paradise. Reported by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, and it's also in the Fortress of the Muslim, number 79. Yani, this supplication is what is known as Sayyid al-Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'adika mastata'atu. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'atu. Abu laka bi ni'matika aliyya. وَأَبُوْ بِذَنْبِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Yani, the meaning, O Allah, you are my Rabb. There is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except you. You have created me and I am your servant. And I am obligated to fulfill your covenant, yani, that I made with you. And your promise, that is that you made to me as much as I can. I seek refuge in you from the evil of what I have done. I acknowledge your favors upon me, and I acknowledge my sins. I acknowledge your favors upon me, and I acknowledge my sins. So forgive me, for indeed no one forgives sins except you. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari. Whoever recites this in the daytime with certainty of its truthfulness, if they die in that day, they will be of the people of paradise. And whoever says it in the night, if they die before morning, they will be of the people of paradise. These are adhkar. These are just a few selected adhkar that every one of us is in need of reciting every day. How can we not say them every day? I'm saying, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no doubt, the person who doesn't know it, once they came to know it, it became upon them. And the person who knows it and have abandoned it, then it's, we must go look at ourselves again and take another look at this and yani, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These adhkar, sabah al-masa, that the Shaykh is referring to in this advice to guard and protect and preserve them are many. He only mentioned one, we have mentioned a few others, but there are many more besides them, and it is incumbent upon us, as the Shaykh said, to know, to seek, to be diligent in seeking ta'allum, fawaid, al-mutarattiba, the benefits that are based upon these adhkar. We must know that, because if you know that when you say this with sincerity, believing in it, knowing its meaning, that if you died in that day, you will be of the people of paradise. How will you not say it then? How will you not say it? If you know, yani, the benefit that you're going to get from this, if you know the reward that you're going to get from this, how could you not say it? If you know that you're going to get 100 good deeds written for you, and 100 sins erased from you, and the reward of freeing 10 slaves, and if you know that you're going to be protected throughout the day or throughout the night from shaitan, if you say these words, how will you not say it? But of course, there's no tawfiq except with Allah. Yani, success is with Allah. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to supplicate to Allah, especially in the last third of the night, and ask Allah to grant us the ability, yani, to put in our heart the desire to do these things, and then to make us, yani, successful in being able to do them by His permission. There's no success except with Allah. May Allah grant us success in improving our lives and doing better and taking this advice that the Shaykh gave. Well, yani, in our daily activities, other than the obligatory duties, and there are many more than this, these are from the essential ones: Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa, Salat al-Qiyam, Salat al-Witr, Salat al-Duha. These are from the essentials of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to incorporate them into our lives, and if we're already doing them, to do them more consistently. And if we're doing them consistently, to do them better than we have been doing them. Naam. To do better than we have been doing them. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And I recommend that anybody who wants to know the meanings of those adhkar and who wants to understand the fawaid al-mutarattiba alayha, then this is a book that Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve them, he has given brief explanations to each one of the adhkar al-sabah al-masa that he has mentioned here. They are, not all of them are mentioned that are came in the sunnah, but he has mentioned some of the important ones here, and he has explained the meanings and the benefits, and I recommend, yani, that anybody who
Yani wants to not only just recite these words, but wants to know what are the meaning of them, that this is a book that you should read. It is definitely extremely yani beneficial. May Allah protect and preserve the Shaykh, and protect and preserve his father. And protect and preserve his father now. Because he is yani from the deeds of his father, right? He's from the deeds of his father. Yani the Muhaddith of Medina. The Shaykh who explained the six books of Sunan, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Nasa'i, from beginning to end, completely, in his lifetime, in the Haram, in the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Shaykh, yani the father, he explained the six books of Hadith, every single Hadith from beginning to end, in his lifetime. Now, so this son, mashallah, he is a blessed son for his father. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. We're going to stop here, inshallah. And just a couple of minutes for the adhan. Is there any question about what we said tonight that's not clear? Something that's not clear? Anything that's not clear? I think it is clear that we have to act upon this, right? And the only way we'll be successful in doing it, ask Allah's help. Wallahi, we'll not do it without asking Allah's help. Naam. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khayra.